Contenders, ready! Gladiators, ready! Three, two, one! The Gladiators!
Hello and welcome to the final episode of Series 1 of the GladPod in association with Gladiators TV. I'm David Blackmore, and with me this week, as always, is Jocular Jet. Apparently, this means full of fun. And the superfan himself, it is very own producer Paul. Both of you, actually, I'll go to Di first. Can you believe it? End of Series 1. In many ways, it's flown by, and in others, it's felt like such an in-depth journey of discovery.
It absolutely has been. I don't think there's ever been another platform other than GladPod to really get the stories out. You know, what was behind each gladiator from the original series. And everybody, like yourself, producer Paul, who fell in love with the show, because you obviously you made the show, you know, be what it is, because you are the proper fan. So yeah, I'm handing it over to you.
I was going to say, Paul is one of the biggest GLAD super fans. What have been your favourite interviews and memorable moments from this first series?
Oh wow, there's been so many. I was kind of just doing a quick look back over all of the episodes that we've done to kind of see which has been my favorite, but I honestly cannot pick one. I think the fact that we've kind of undiscovered so much info from all of the guests, some of the stuff that I didn't even know, which, like, say almost 30 years on, is just unbelievable that there's still new things to be discovered from the show, from Phoenix doing a kind of loft invasions to obviously solving the mystery of Shark, and then just hearing the guys like Hunter and kind of Rebel as well, both really being so honest about them kind of struggling with aspects of the show, such as Rebel trying to kind of be this glamorous gladiator, which she kind of really kind of struggled with a little bit, and then even Hunter saying how he kind of had a bit of a cry when he was told that he wasn't good enough, which I think as fans of the show you just never saw that side of the characters, which I think the GladPod has definitely brought those stories to the forefront.
And actually picking up on that, Di, for you, it would have been nice to catch up with some, I say old friends, I don't mean old as in like old, I just mean old friends as in people you've not seen for a while, but also you've met new faces. So part of this for you has kind of been reminding yourself of the stories that you knew already, but also discovering new stories.
Well, exactly. It's a little bit like Paul said. I didn't even know Shark existed. And Rebel, bless her, she came onto the show just as I'd had my accident and left. So it was just like discovering new people, new gladiators, and literally putting flesh onto the bone in all the best way possible.
So, guys, for the very last time, shall we delve into our mailbag?
Go on.
So, and actually, there's questions for both of you in here, which is very good that you're both, yeah, especially you, that you're part of this, producer Paul. So Ryan has asked, and I don't know who wants to go first on this. Maybe you go first, Di. Ryan asks, can you talk us through a typical day of filming? And then his second question is, how were the events selected for each episode? So, Di, do you just want to give us a whiz through what a typical day filming was for you?
Do you know what? We used to get like a call sheet slid under the hotel door room, right? So we were all in a hotel, and you'd get like a sheet of paper, an A4, with the event that you'd be on the next day. And you'd be like, oh God, I'm on Jewel or Hang Tough, which I loved personally. And that's all. And you'd have to get into the arena by about 7:30, and we'd shoot two shows a day, which took up to seven to eight hours to do each, because the massive crew and the size of the event meant that you had to literally kind of swap the arena around. So yeah, it took forever just for what, 1 hour show. It was, yeah, unbelievable. And that's it. That would be our normal day. And we'd all sit in a little pen backstage, nervous as hell. I can't speak for the others, but that's literally how I remember it, thinking, oh God, what am I going to face when I go out into the arena?
I mean, for me, the whole experience was slightly different to Di's. So we'd get there very early in the morning, probably about 5:30, 6 o'clock, because we all wanted that kind of, there was a key spot in the arena where the fans kind of really wanted to get to. So there was a little bit of competition to see who could get to the arena and be first in queue, and kind of getting there at, like, say, about 6 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the doors to open. But there was a really nice community of fans there. I got to know, like, loads of them as we kind of be sat there taking turns at keeping our space in the queue. And then as soon as they would open the doors and let us in, there was a mad rush, almost like an eliminator course, to get from the doors to this. It was kind of on the right-hand side of the arena near the male wall. There was a kind of a front row of seats at the very corner where you could kind of communicate with the gladiators as they were waiting to come into the arena and stuff. So that was the prime spot to get to. So yeah, we'd go in, watch the first show, and then there was a mad rush to either go to hospitality and backstage if you were lucky enough, or literally just rejoin the queue and go back in for the night show. Obviously you wouldn't get the kind of the prime corner seat, but hopefully you'd kind of got your backstage passes earlier on in the day, and you could just kind of, we used to say, sit up in the gods in the kind of the taller part of the arena, and really experience the show in a different way because you'd see it from a different angle and everything like that. So that was kind of a typical recording day for the fans, and then you'd kind of go backstage at the end of the recording, and then it was usually like a midnight kind of end sometimes, and then you'd just literally go back and do the whole thing again. So yeah, it was quite exhausting, but so, like I say, just the adrenaline would get you through the day, really. And then quickly just touching on the events, they were kind of filmed out of order. Some of the bigger events, such as Pyramid or Polax, ones that really took a long time to kind of get set up, would often be kind of set up in the arena before the fans kind of got in to try and save as much time as possible, really. And I always remember seeing kind of Polax and Pyramid for the first time and just being, what on earth is this? I've never seen anything like it. I thought the arena had a new intro, but it wasn't. It was like the Pyramid set off. And especially with Polax, when they'd inflate the kind of big airbag and stuff like that, that was quite interesting. But also just seeing how some of the events be set up. So some of the events would come down from the ceiling. A lot of the Eliminator was kind of held up there, and things like the Hang Tough rings and suspension bridge and stuff. And then other ones would be kind of wheeled out and would take a little bit longer. So I always got the impression that the events were kind of selected to have a good mix of gladiator versus contender, so the contenders had some opportunities to get some points on the board. But also, because LWT did record it as a very good live experience, you were seeing a TV show, but it was also a massive, interesting kind of day trip, basically. So yeah, I think they selected some of the games to be as kind of ones that could be set up as quickly as possible, and then others that they could take slightly longer, like Danger Zone, for example. They took quite a long time to film that one because they had to put netting across all of the audience so that the tennis balls and all of the equipment kind of didn't go into the audience and stuff. So yeah, that's kind of, I think there was a mixture of reasons why they had the events in the show.
Thank you very much. Actually, it was great to hear it from a glad as well as a fan point of view as well. James Watkin wanted to know, I'm interested to know as a fan, if you think Gladiators could have carried on into the noughties to early 2000s, and what you think could have saved it from being act, or do you think it was a show that just ran its natural course? Paul, I will ask you first, what do you think could have saved it from being axed and continuing into the early 2000s?
I think, well, what actually nearly happened was there was a news report that came out where ITV were going to reinvigorate the show, and they were going to invest, I think, I can't remember if it was 3 million or 5 million to really kind of redo the show, add a load of new events and give it a really big makeover, which obviously never happened. I'm not sure what they could have done, really. I think looking back now, I think the show kind of did run its course, and it felt probably the right time for it to kind of come off air, which is probably a bit controversial from a fan saying that. But looking back, I think it kind of had changed quite a lot. Obviously, injuries and the events couldn't really be as spectacular as what they were previously. So I'm not sure what they could have done, really. I think it had just run its course.
And I mean, obviously, I know from your point of view that, you know, you're saying to me earlier on in the series that I kind of, after your injury, you kind of let Gladiators be and you be you almost, you know, just carrying on and focusing on the next chapter of your life. But did you get a feeling perhaps that come sort of the end of the 90s that perhaps Gladiators had run its course naturally?
I think a little bit like Paul saying, I think it's three words, health and safety. whenever they entered into the arena, there was one in particular, I can't remember his name, but we'd all kind of shudder because I knew the producers didn't like him being around, but he needed to be around because it was a really dangerous place to work, actually. I know I can harken back to, you know, gladiatorial arenas in the, you know, ancient Rome, and God, that was seriously dangerous. But, you know, even with the matters and the all the health and safety, the headgear, the neck, not a neck constraint, but we had so much padding, but it was still really dangerous. You know, if you snapped a joint or broke a bone, it was just equally dangerous as, you know, maybe even back then. So yeah, health and safety, those three words, not good.
I do like this additional question from James, and I think the reaction from both of you is going to be quite similar, actually. He would like to know what you both think about the idea of a masked gladiator. So as in a gladiator wearing a mask, which probably would be quite apt in these days. And if the concept would have worked, or if the show came back, could it work? I think where James is coming from is having somebody like the Stig, you know, in Top Gear, to have someone who you don't know the identity of. Could that have worked, Paul?
I'm not sure, really. I think from a fan point of view, I think you always kind of wanted to see who the gladiator was. So they might have that air of mystery. Just quickly thinking on my feet, I think the closest that's ever happened to something like this was in the Swedish Gladiators. They had a guy called El Gringo, and he kind of had a Mexican kind of mask. He was this big, massive guy, really bulky, and he had a mask in it and stuff on, but he would take it off to play the games, obviously, so they could see what they were doing. But yeah, I've never really thought about that one. It does feel very gladiatorial when you imagine the mask, but I'm not sure how practical that would be in some of...
It tickled me completely. only because there's a massive Glad fan called Tony Foxton, who actually did a... You know, on my jet costume, it's like a display of jet tails from a jumbo jet. I thought, really not that original, but it was okay. It was part of my costume. He actually made a face mask for me a few weeks ago, with that very same display on it. And it was like, oh, God, what are you doing? But yeah. Sorry, it just tickled me.
It definitely feels appropriate with the whole mask situation. But yeah, I've seen those designs by Tony are just fantastic. I think he's actually done a few of the other gladiators, like Trojan and some of the others, and he's so talented. I'm not sure how well they'd wash, though, Di, to be fair. Dry clean only, maybe.
The next question is for Di, and it's from Stephen, aka Ferg. His question is, if the internet and social media had been around in the early 1990s when Jet first heard of the show, would that have affected her decision to go on the show?
What a great question. Yeah, because I'm not very... Yeah, I'm not very out there, as you can see by my social media, Insta and Twitter. I'm on there, but I don't interact very much. Yeah, I think it may have a little bit. But, you know, to be a gladiator and just be a good athlete and be really top of your game and good at what you do wouldn't have stopped me. But, yeah, the whole kind of social media thing, yeah, not great these days. But I don't think that would have stopped me back then? Maybe, I don't know. That's a really good question. Thank you.
Well, I guess the thing from his point of view is that he's asking you to go back in time, but also you're trying to answer the question with years of experience and now knowing the world that we live in. I think what the point he was saying is that given the level of scrutiny people in the public eye and out under, would the fear of trolling or heightened media interest deter you from wanting to be part of the experience? But it sounds like, I think if you were a 21-year-old again, I would imagine that most 21-year-olds, even you at that time, even if you brought you forward to 2020, I think you probably still would have been part of the experience. I think maybe you perhaps would have been a bit more guarded, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, retrospectively, it's a really big question. More guarded? I think back then we didn't need to be, because there was no such thing as FM social media. God, if I think back now and I am 50, trying to transport myself back. It wouldn't have swayed my, you know, decision to be actually on the show, because I was an athlete, so no.
And he follows that by saying, do you think that a show such as Gladiators would be beneficial to young people's mental health in a world which is now transfixed on the superficial and where health and beauty are dictated by cosmetic procedures? Isn't it the time we inspired a new generation, as you guys did in the 90s, to have role models of the Gladiators caliber?
Yeah, brilliant. Another absolutely brilliant point. We were healthy, real, not enhanced, for as much as I know, by many of the others. And we're just good athletes. We're just doing an honest job. So yeah, no, it's a really, really good point to raise.
Now, just because this is the end of series one doesn't mean that you can't get in touch with us with your stories, or if you're listening to any of the other podcasts, you know, what was your favorite bit, you know, from the series one? What was your favorite interview? What were your favourite stories? Do get in touch with us and send us an email, gladpod@gladiatorstv.com. Don't forget that we're also on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter @TheGladPod. And this week's guest is a very special one. Really pleased that we're ending the series with this. It is Panther.
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to GladPod, and with us today, it is one of the original Gladiators. Panther has joined us. Hello, thank you for coming
to see us. My pleasure. It's lovely to see you again.
Take us right back to what it was like for you to become a gladiator in those early days. What happened? Where did we find you?
Where did I come from?
Yes.
Yes, well, I'm from the northeast of England, so I was up there. Not knowing what was going on, I found out later that LWT were advertising for Gladiators down south. So I got a phone call from Nigel Lithgow asking if I would be interested in being a gladiator. And he gave me some stipulations, and I'm like,
what like?
He said, how tall are you? And I said, well, I'm about 5'6". Oh, he says, we need somebody 5'8". And I said, that's fine, because I can wear heels. So in my eyes, I'm getting a phone call, and I thought it was just sort of a casting thing, looking for a gladiator. And in my eye, a gladiator, not having seen anything, was white Roman togas and laurel leaves. So I'm thinking I'll have a white Roman toga on my shoes. Nice hairdo, what suits me down to the ground. And he said, you know what, I think we're going to send you a video of the American Gladiator so you can get a bit of an idea of what it's about. So I was totally unaware of it. So, you know, for me, it was a massive shock. So I got the video and looked at it and I thought, oh my gosh. But let's have a go. You know, let's have a try, see if I can do it. So at the time I was doing my bodybuilding shows. I had my gym up north and I said, right, well, I've got this planned and this planned. So I couldn't do the first tryout, which I believe everyone else, all the other original glads went to. And I'd gone off to Russia to do the Russian championships, came back and I was due to go to California to judge a bodybuilding show. And he says, can we catch you in between? So I went down to St. Albans, I believe it was, to do my tryouts. So I did some physical tests and Shadow's girlfriend, Olivia, was there.
Oh, that's right.
And the original Gladiator Flame, who was blonde-haired at the time.
Kimbra.
Yeah, yes. So Kimbra was there. And we did all the physical tests. We had to climb the ropes and, you know what we had to do, chin-ups and all sorts. Yeah. Then we had to do a speed and agility test. And then the big one, could you do it in front of a camera? Could you be natural in front of a camera? And I was really lucky because Nigel on that same day said, right, you've got the job, but you can't tell anybody. And I'm like, okay, how do I keep this a secret? But again, I didn't know it was going to be a big thing. I thought it was just going to be like a few days on a TV show. I didn't really know the ins and outs of it. So I went off to yet another bodybuilding competition, Miss England in the Northeast, and there was all these bodybuilders coming up to me saying, I've got a job as a gladiator. Helen, I'm going to be a gladiator. And I'm like, oh, so mad, but you're not supposed to be telling anyone. And then obviously when I came on TV, all these people that had told me they'd got the job, they hadn't. So really quite famous bodybuilders as well, so I won't shame them into naming the names. But yeah, that's how it all started. It was really per chance. And I always say now to people, if you get an opportunity to do something and they say, can you do this? Just say yes and then learn how to do it afterwards.
Yes.
Because why, you know, I could have missed an opportunity like that just thinking I had a walk-on part in a movie, and then I ended up, you know, hitting people with cotton buds and falling off and breaking my neck practically. So who would give that up?
Panther's favourite events are Duel and Atlaspheres, where her game plan is to slink down the ramp and then pounce on the contenders. She's the current holder of the Miss Russia title and has the perfect figure, 36-25-36.
It's interesting when you look at the background of where all sort of the journeys for each of the gladiators, because I read somewhere that you didn't actually like sports in school anyway, so...
Absolutely not. So I used to write my own thick notes at school.
Really?
So I went to a school called Bedlington Grammar School and we had to play hockey. I remember getting injured with a hockey stick and it was just like, ugh, I don't like this at all. I'm a bit more girly girl, if you like. So I used to just write notes in so I could avoid all of this sport. But then, you know, I got a job as a secretary and I got to the age of about 25, 26, and I thought, you know what, I've had really good genetics, a nice shaped body, but now it's starting to feel a little bit more wobbly. I have to do something. So I went to the local aerobics club. You know, aerobics back in the day was big with Jane Fonda and everybody.
Right.
Got the Lycra out, so I was already ready with the Lycra. Went to it and it was just like, oh, don't like this. And then there was an advert in the local newspaper, come to the gym, try it for free. So I got my sister, who's almost 10 years younger than me, and said, right, we're going to the gym. She hated it and I just felt like it was home and I absolutely loved it. So I started, as my dad said, oh, you're not pumping iron, are you, Helen? So I started pumping iron, as they say, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it and it just felt like that was the sport for me. And again, I always say to somebody, you might like table tennis, you might like snooker, you might like darts, you might like the gym, you might like swimming, but somewhere out there there's a sport that you're going to be good at and be interested in, and you are more likely to be interested in a sport that you feel like you are good at. And I did get really good at the bodybuilding, so I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You're the epitome of showing that someone who didn't like sport but actually went on. I mean, you what, Miss Great Britain, Miss England, Miss Universe, Miss Russia. How do you qualify for Miss Russia?
Yeah, you see, so I won the British, the European and the Universe. And then I was asked to do a showcase in Russia with the then Mr. Universe, a guy called Peter Reed. So we said, again, why not? In for a penny, in for a pound. So there we went off to Russia and we ended up doing a couples routine together. And then they said, just enter the show. So we entered the show and won it. So... yeah, that's how that came about. Just never say no to opportunities. No, that's the thing.
Lisa's ambition to be Miss Universe, and here she is facing Miss Universe, Panther.
Now, obviously, you're one of the original gladiators.
Yeah.
But did you know that Panther originally was supposed to be a male car?
I didn't, no. So which one were they going to make Panther then?
Well, I don't know who it was going to be, but...
I think what they had is they had a bag of names that they wanted to use. And as each gladiator came in, they tried to match them with their character. And when I turned up for my makeup session and to get your hair done for the image side of things, it had my hair, Nigel had my hair all sort of back combed like Falcons, like sticky up. Mm-hmm. And he had the idea of this punk panther, but I looked in the mirror and I thought, this is just not me. I can't be going around spiking my hair up all the time. And then I had a black cat suit on at the interview, and I think he said to me, well, we've got cat and we've got panther, which one would you like? And I just went for the panther.
So
I pretty much got a choice of names, which was quite good.
Because I was going to, that was the other thing I'd heard, that you were almost called cat, but
yeah,
but you actually had the choice.
I think it was cat, Scorpio and panther, but I said, well, I'm a Libra, and so it'd be really silly me being a Scorpio. So it was cat or panther, and I think panther just sounded a little bit stronger.
Is Scorpio Scorpio?
I don't know, you know.
No, she's.
I don't think she is.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
So, take us back to what it was like when you very first put your panther costume on. Did you like the costumes, by the way?
I think the first, again, because we didn't know what to expect, they just sort of threw these costumes at you, and they were a little bit old-fashioned, if you like an old-fashioned leotard. Yeah. But I think we just all went along with it because there was so much excitement about it. You'd started to meet each other. We all came from similar sort of backgrounds, most of us were bodybuilders.
Well, Phoenix was as well, wasn't she?
Yeah,
you competed against her.
Yeah, and I think I didn't particularly like it, but initially it was just for a photo shoot. So you put it on, you went along, we had a really good photo shoot, got some fantastic pictures back from it, and it just set a tone. But I think it was realising that, hang on a minute, we can change things around here. We've got our own personality as well. So the costumes were made by the fantastic Steve Adnett and his crew. Mm. They were brilliant people. But they were really open to us saying, oh, we'd like a little change here and a little change there. And I think initially most of us wanted our middles covered, so if we didn't have abs, nobody could see. But they were going to be brave. I mean, we had little half tops and what have you. But yeah, it was nice to have changes each year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Panther, you won. Not the way you wanted to win, but you still won.
Yeah, you had two angry ladies there. I did want to knock her off, but it just didn't happen tonight.
Now, I understand that she's a little bit of a hero of yours as well, isn't she?
Yes, when I started bodybuilding, this lady was a Miss Universe, and I always wanted to look like this lady, and I got there.
You certainly did. You got your own back today.
What was it like when you very first walked into the arena? You know, like when it was, the rigging hadn't been set up, because remember we were kind of learning as we went.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was it that first moment like when you ever walked into the NIA?
I think walking in to see how massive this arena was.
Yeah.
To see that there was rigging there, to see, I suppose, there was still the hang tough things there. There was a wall in the distance, and you just looked around in awe thinking, what is going to go on here? And then trying the games, we couldn't really try them. We were just experimenting with things.
That's right.
And then I think you were injured.
Yep.
I think Wolf had an injury. I think Cobra had some sort of injury. Mm-hmm. And I remember Ulrika walking in and saying, oh my God. Gosh, if these are the gladiators with injuries, they haven't even started yet, what the contender's going to be like.
Yep.
So I think even in the first two or three days, there was injuries just in practice.
That's right.
So it was quite daunting. And the arena was just so huge. And you just knew you wanted to be part of something, and you knew it was going to be special.
Welcome back to the National Indoor Arena. And event four is Atlaspheres. And banging up against our contenders will be Panther. If we ask her nicely, perhaps she'll blow us a kiss. Thank you. Her wheels partner is the Jets.
What were your favourite events? Because I always had you down as kind of a Gauntlet or Whiplash or one of those events.
You know, you mentioned Whiplash and I cannot remember that game at all.
Well, you were good at Whiplash.
Yeah. I liked,
or Joust.
Yeah, I like being in the Atlaspheres. That was what probably the first game I ever did. It was a bit unusual, to say the least. And it was quite easy to emulate that. And at the time I had strong legs, so it was easy to do that particular game.
Well, both Georgina and Vicky are ready in their Atlaspheres, and they're going to be facing Panther! And Jet!
I am not a happy gladiator. We changed tactics tonight, and we went for the same ball that was on our side. We're going to change the tactics again, and they won't score any points.
They're not happy, giving away 9 points to Georgina, who rocks up to 13. Vicky rolls on to 16.
I like doing the power ball and, as you say, the gauntlet. Anything with a little bit of power behind it. The doing the duel, although on paper, I would have been perfect for it. I was terrified of heights. And not until you get there do you realise. Mm. And I remember one day in practice, there was me and Warrior, and he's like 6'6" and 20 stone, and we're hanging on to each other, and he's going to me, "Oh, I'm scared of heights." And I'm going, "Shh, don't tell anybody, we can bluff this one through." And we did. We managed, and you overcome these things, I suppose. But yeah, anything on the ground I was happy with, but anything high up, no thank you. Leave it to the ones that are good at it.
I mean, that's interesting though, isn't it? Because the gladiators were always seen as being these superheroes, like almost human out of comic books, you know. And then, but you know, everyone, every time we speak to a gladiator, so there's always one little nick in the armor.
Yeah,
really.
I think, you know what, we looked the part. We did look like what they wanted a gladiator girl to look like, with a, you know, a toned body, a nice shape, athletic, happy, willing to try things. But you can't be good at everything, and sometimes it's nice just to admit that.
Mm.
Yeah, because then there's no pressure on you. If you feel you have to do something and you feel forced into doing something, that's not a good thing at all. So it was really nice that I had a group of people that were more than happy to take on other challenges that I wouldn't, and a team of producers and directors that were quite happy to mix and match.
Let's play ball. Our Panthers straight on Joe, bringing it down. Oh, Panty moving so far she forgets the ball. Up against Panther. Power through now. Good takedown by the Wildcat. Falcon brings down Joe. What is Clancy doing? Dropped another ball. Falcon and Jed double-teaming Clancy. Panther brings down Joe. Good game from Panther so far.
Were you worried in that first series, like the longevity of it? Did you want, you know, did you want to make sure you performed to a certain level to ensure that you got commissioned again as Panther almost?
To be honest, I didn't think past the first few weeks, because you just never know what's going to happen. I know other sports people, like footballers, that have gone along and thought that they're going to have a massive long career, and they've got injured and they've had to find something else to do. So always in the back of my mind, yeah, this is a great opportunity, yes, I'd like to do this, but I need something solid to fall back on, and hence that's why I opened the gym.
Yeah,
you know, so I've always had that to fall back on, always worked at it as well. So I don't think you should put all your eggs in one basket. I think you need to have a few things that you enjoy and that you're good at.
So moving on into our next event, and first up is Michelle, and she's going to be pushing against Panther,
the feline foe. Here's a catalogue of her statistics. She stands a sleek 1 metre 67 tall and weighs 63 kilos. And by a strange coincidence, they happen to be Michelle's measurements as well. So this couldn't be more evenly matched.
You mentioned earlier on about the trying out, and it was slightly different time to everybody else because of what you were doing. But did you wear, what were you wearing for your tryout? Is there a story behind that?
I did wear a tight black catsuit because, you know, I am from the northeast. I do like to go out and party and show me figure off. You know, it's really well known that you don't wear a jacket when you go out in the northeast, no matter how cold it is. And I suppose I was one of those girls. So when I came down to London, I was always in nice tight outfits. And I suppose that's another way you keep your figure as well. And then there was a craze came along where my husband had a company called Crazy Wear, and it was all baggy clothes. And I started getting used with wearing that, and then the figure went a little bit. So I think the tighter the clothes you wear, if you're wearing like all the time, you tend to keep in shape better.
You'd mentioned the catsuit already. Just, so what's everyone else wearing on the tryouts then? So you just rolled in there in a catsuit.
Yeah, but it was normal for me. To be fair, I think the majority of them had tight clothes on. I think it was the era of the Lycra, so when you worked out you wore Lycra.
Yeah.
Now you probably wouldn't see that in many gyms, but yeah, at the time that was the in fashion. Big hair and Lycra.
Well, the big hair is definitely
the big hair's gone, there's definitely no Lycra.
I just remember, for me, you had the ultimate gladiator female look, because your body was just incredible, and I think there was a sense of when Nigel was sort of casting or putting his feelers out again, they asked me to try and get bigger, get more bodybuilder like more bigger muscles. I thought, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
They did the opposite with me, because I went along after just being on stage. When you're more ripped, you look bigger on camera.
Yes.
So he asked me not to be as big as his sauce. So I was able to eat a little bit more, which was not maybe not a good thing, but just to smooth out a bit. So, yeah, so when I went to California before the show started, I was able to eat what I wanted to do, whatever I wanted out there. And I came back and I was solid enough and shapely enough still to pass, you know, but yeah. Definitely not for stage anymore.
I mean, Series 3 in 94 and the injuries, definitely a defining moment in your gladiator time. But building up to that, so Series 1 and 2, I mean, what are your memories of just being part of that leading up to Series 3?
I think the big thing about it is, after coming from the northeast, I moved down south to London. We were booked on all sorts of PAs going out to meet the public, and it was just bedlam. We had to have security. We had to have personal security as well as security in the events that we went to. And there was people queuing up around shops to see us. So I suppose to see the phenomena behind it and realise that we were having such a massive influence on people's fitness in the UK.
Yeah.
People were much more aware as families watching the TV series and getting out there and getting them fit themselves. So you had this sense of feeling responsible in some way to keep that fit and healthy lifestyle going, because people out there were buying into it. We were also pretty good role models as well, you know, we were cleaner than clean, and just the admiration for everybody about what we had achieved. But it could have been any one of them, you know. It could have been a contender that just happened to be in the right place to get the gladiator job, and one of them did, didn't she?
Eunice
Huttart. So yeah, you know, as I say, you get an opportunity and you just run with it, and it could have happened to anyone. So I felt very, very, very lucky.
And the toughest event for you was Jewel, was it?
I think anything with regards to heights, because I wasn't very comfortable. I did them, but I wasn't really comfortable doing them. But the hardest one, obviously, was the tilt, and it was the hardest one for any of the gladiators. And I think they wheeled that out when anybody needed some points as a contender, because the odds are that they were going to pull a gladiator off. But yeah, because that one was wheeled out for me, and seen as a strong female gladiator, I was put on it more often than others. And yeah, so I got pulled off awkwardly, almost snapped my neck. It was pretty horrendous.
Can you remember much from it? Can you still, is it still vivid, or does it,
I look at the video that I've been shown after it happened. At the time, you don't realise, you just think, I'm lying on my back, I've got a collar on, and I'm going to hospital, and you don't know what's happened, and you don't know what's going on around you, whether the thing's still, you know, happening. And lying there, and I've got bodyguards with me saying, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. And luckily my husband was in the audience that day, so he was able to be there as well. But actual memory of what happened, no memory at all.
Amanda gets a table back. Oh, she's lost the rope, she's lost her footing. Oh, that was a nasty landing for Panther. Face first, feet right over the back.
But obviously the recovery afterwards took quite a long time.
Was it 5 months, wasn't it?
At least 5 months before I was able to do anything. And I didn't think, to be completely honest, that I would ever make it back onto the gladiator arena again. But again, the producer, the director, were really kind, asked me to come back, tried a few little games out, was there with as part of the team.
That's what I was reading. I wasn't quite clear on that, because it looked like you almost came back for two series.
Yeah,
but I think, was it the second series you were more backstage?
Absolutely. Encouragement and helping out a little bit more, but just still feeling a part of it. So they didn't just say, oh well, she's injured, let's get rid of her. So that was really nice.
Here comes Panther and Falcon. And Michael, I have to tell you that this is the first time that Panther has rejoined Gladiators since a nasty fall on Tilt, and it's good to see her back.
But when you actually came, because the first season that you came back, my question was going to be, did the producers take it, were they kinder on you? But actually, when I looked at some of the events that you did, no, they didn't.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind, don't you? No, but I wouldn't have wanted it any other way, because, again, it wouldn't be fair on my fellow gladiators, would it, if I didn't take part as much as I possibly could. But the injury did take its toll on me, and even till this day I can't sit on an upright bike in the gym, you know, a stationary bike, because of the pain in the neck. I can do a lot of things. I can do, you know, cross trainers, I can go on the treadmill, but I can't do anything high impact either, because that has a big effect. And that was another one of the injuries I had. I had a bad Achilles injury, and that was just from repetitive strain. You know, we did a game called Pyramid, and I used to try and practice running up the stairs at the Hyatt Hotel. What a silly thing to do, because it's concrete. But you know, it's just, you get to a certain age and your body, after repeating exercises so much, you just get niggly little injuries. So there wasn't just the neck, there was the Achilles as well. So wear and tear from this old bird. I had to give it up.
were you a reserve for that second, that 97, 96 series, where because there were so many injuries?
I don't think I was a reserve, unless I was a reserve and they didn't tell me. I was just there for morale and just to camaraderie sake and what have you, just to be involved in the back. And I did a few little interviews and what have you.
I was going to say, was it a backstage reporter role as well?
A little bit, yeah. So a little bit of this, whatever Helen can do, just give her something to do, maybe. But I didn't realise that I might have been a reserve. If somebody else had been injured, maybe I would have been called on.
Told me she recently bought a couple of pet iguanas, and she calls them Warrior and Hunter because they never stop eating.
I was going to ask as well, what was the hardest thing or the toughest thing about being a gladiator? But it's almost like you were riding that wave from the first two series, and then before you kind of crashed down, or literally on tilt. So for you, was there a tough part of life as a gladiator?
I don't think so. As I say, it was such a fantastic opportunity. I just take life as it comes, and if something comes your way, you give it a try. If you can do it, you can do it. If you can't, you can't. And everything happens for a reason, and I was probably injured there, which may have saved a more severe injury later on. You just do not know. So I'm grateful for everything that gladiators gave me, because it meant that I was able to still run my gym, still do all the other things that I needed to do, and I still keep fit and healthy. It hasn't stopped. So
what about you, Panther?
Not too bad.
I don't think my girl scored any. I think I managed to block her out. Yeah,
I think you're incorrect on this,
Matt. No,
I think she scored 3 points.
Oh my goodness, let the side down, we'll be better next time.
So tell me a little bit more about your world in bodybuilding as well, because it's something that has seen you through and through, even to this age and stage now, because you're an international judge. Is that right?
Well, the thing is with it, I suppose, they say if you can't do, you teach, don't they? But what I've done is I've obviously competed. Then I've gone on to do competition prep for other people so that they can enjoy getting on stage and winning things as well. So competition prep for athletes. And then the advancement from that is, you know what, I'm going to try and see if I can do some sort of judging. So I did some judging, and now I'm an international judge and a pro judge. And culminated last year in my pro judging debut at the Arnold in Madrid in Barcelona. And Arnold Schwarzenegger invited us all for dinner that evening, so that was like, wow. He's the icon.
Big
of the
name
sport.
Drop. Absolutely.
So I mean, absolutely fantastic to be on the other side of things and encourage new people into the scene, because, you know, it's something that got me started in this, something that I still thoroughly enjoy. When I go to the gym that I have now, I call it home. So why wouldn't you continue to do something that you absolutely love? So they say, love what you do, do what you love. And that's what I do.
But it's interesting, because obviously I've spoken to you and I've spoken to Vogue, and you both come from the gymnastic background, whereas yours used with the bodybuilding. Do you think you had to work harder at the events?
I don't think I necessarily worked harder. I think the gymnastic side of things, like Lightning, Suzanne, Vogue and Diane, I think that holds you in such good esteem to be able to do anything, because you've got your body strength and you've got spatial awareness and you look the part as well. So I think that side of it, I would encourage any parent to get their child to go to some form of gymnastics or martial arts is the other one.
Yeah.
And as you can see, Cobra, martial artist, he was fantastic at all the games. Mm. So you can almost see that the people that have done that extra bit of gymnastics or martial arts, they were, in my opinion, better at the games, with a couple of exceptions. Maybe Hunter and Shadow were absolutely lethal, weren't they?
Yeah.
But again, strong of mind and strong of body and strong of character. So they were able to put their mind to anything and their bodies just carried them through.
If Katie is pulled to the front of a table, it'll tip up and tip her off. Lots of support for Panther.
Talk to me about paintballing and talk to me about Russia.
No, how do you know these things? Oh my gosh, that's something I forgot about.
That was horrendous. Yeah, we were invited out paintballing.
A group of UK gladiators.
UK gladiators and Russian gladiators. And I think there was some others. I don't. It was some sort of international in the UK.
Okay.
And the bright idea was that we're going to go out paintballing. So we thought, oh yeah, I'll go along, why not? Went to the local, I think it was Hunter that actually organised it, I'm not sure. went to the local shop and got kitted out in the camouflage gear, and he put some, you know, the camouflage stuff on my face and went along there. And then they give you these different rifles to try out, so we got put on different teams, and our bodyguards were there as well, put on different teams, and they said, right, you just got to do this to shoot. And I was standing, this guy came in front of me and I just shot, and it was a repeating rifle, so just bang, 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 bang. And it was into the Russian guy's groin.
Oh
my gosh. And afterwards he explained what had happened, and I was so apologetic. I gave him so much clothes to take back to Russia to apologise. Oh God, he got the biggest bag of crazy wear imaginable to say sorry about that. But yeah, you're confronted with somebody in camouflage with a gun and you just fire, don't you? So yeah, that was the one and last time for that. But when we got back to the arena, we were all covered in black and blue welts.
Were you there as well?
Yeah.
And Nigel Lithgow said, what have you done? Furious. Gladiators, the makeup department's going to have trouble hiding this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, sorry.
Like they
thought it was a good idea at the time, but yeah.
Wow.
That's a memory of God. I bet the Russian guy, it was dynamite or dynamo or something,
like that,
isn't it? Yeah, but he hasn't forgotten.
He's probably still limping to this day.
Yeah. Tell me through your favourite events. What did you actually really always felt you had an affinity with?
I think Powerball. I love Powerball because there was the three girls who had this like nice little cosy link up at the beginning, and you're going to be here, you're going to be there. And it was just something that I enjoyed, flinging myself around and, you know, seemed to be reasonably good at.
Paula misses, taken down beautifully. Panther doing a good job this time round.
But again, I knocked myself out on that one as well.
Did
I have no idea. I was standing at the front and I was in charge of this bit. And then all of a sudden, after a few tackles, I'm standing at the side looking at the audience and I'm thinking, where am I? And I'd been out, it must have been a split second on the floor and got up and totally disorientated. But nobody would know, so you just get on with it because you've got 30 seconds or 60 seconds to film. You just pick yourself up and get on with it. But yeah, but that was one of my favourites. And the Gauntlet, again, another team event.
Is that because it's more tactical that you can, and you're part of a team as opposed to being...
I think the fact that it's part of a team, and I think the pressure's still on, but there's much more pressure when there's just one of you against another.
Well, I'm coming from a bodybuilding background.
Yeah.
It is all on you. And you're not in a team.
That's it. So it's not a team sport. So to be amongst with the gladiators and be able to be part of a team, it was really nice.
Mm.
Oh, good tackle from Panther.
And you mentioned earlier about just that people queuing around the block to see you. Can you remember what it was like the first time you were recognised, or that first time that you realised, oh, you know, it's on TV now, people are starting to clock who I am?
Well, it was just incredible because I suppose you never expect that. Again, because I was from the northeast, a little town in the northeast, and then you come out and you're in a video shop, I think Blockbusters, and there's literally thousands and thousands of people there. And you think, well, I'm just Helen. But then you have to then realise that this character, as soon as you're on TV and you see scene. You're in someone's home. And at that time, we were, I think we had about 92% of the population watching Gladiators. Mm. So you just think, well, yeah, I am a bit famous.
And whilst, you know, going to do Blockbuster sounds really good. And we Blockbuster comes up an awful lot, doesn't it?
It does, actually. It's the one that we did. I think we had a few booked out, didn't we? Yeah.
There must be some random ones you've done, though.
I did a one in a zoo with Wolf in Bristol. Wolf
brilliant.
And Panther, well, go get it. And you know what? It was so busy. They'd booked us. I think the session was lasting, you know, from 10 till 4. Mm. And they renegotiated so that we could stay there later. And they would have had us there the next day. I've done garden centres with Cobra, you know, up in Scotland.
But is that opening something, which is just meet and greet?
It was meet and greet. What else have I done? I've opened garages with Cobra. I did something where I was away a couple of days with Trojan in Scotland and he lost his airplane ticket coming back because he's not the tidiest of people, and we ended up in the airport and went in his suitcase going through his pockets of his jeans and what have you, and he had to pay an extra 50 quid for his flight home or something because he couldn't find them. But yeah, we went all over the place. I did a thing up north called Super Champs with Hunter.
Oh yes,
that was really good. Nice little series that one was. But yeah, we've been all over the place. And people often say, oh, I met you with such and such, and I'm racking my brains trying to think where, but I didn't do that. Mm. And then you see pictures that people post on social media and think, I cannot remember having a picture taken there. So a lot of it, because it was just week after week after week personal appearances, you do forget half the things you've done.
And we've been getting a lot of messages from people saying, you know, oh, you know, I met so and so here and there. When you say to them, like, no, and even if they've done something memorable, like to them that's memorable, you know, and that's what it's all about, though, isn't it? It's creating those memories for those people. When they say, oh, blah blah blah, Gladiators, oh yeah, I met Panther here and Blockbusters,
it's fantastic. But no, we did TV shows as well, so I met Bruce Forsyth, you know, he's a bit of a legend in himself, just different TV programs for children and what have you. So it's nice to be able to see you on these Saturday morning TV programs, because they're all cookery programs now. I don't think they're kids TV stuff like the Ant and Dex and what have you in the mornings. Mm-hmm. So they need to have something like that back.
Well, you were on Play Your Cards Right, weren't you?
I was, yeah, yeah.
Was you a contestant on there, or were you one of the...
You know what, again, I can't... I've got a picture of me doing an arm wrestle with somebody, but it's not something you would normally do, is it? But obviously, you're in the Gladiators outfit and they say, oh, I'll have an arm wrestle. Mm-hmm. And again, you don't say no.
Oh, no.
So I have no idea, but I was on there. I was on 15 to 1 as well with a few other people from TV, Emmerdale Farm and EastEnders and what have you.
So if you had the 15 to 1 Gladiators, you could have the 12 originals.
Yeah.
And then you'd have...
You see, we've got all these ideas.
Eureka, John and John Anderson.
I don't know how clever we'd be on these programmes, but who knows?
And you opened a fashion shop with Saracen and Vogue. Is that just like the most random thing ever? How did it even come about?
I really don't know how that came about. I think something to do with my husband having the Crazy Wear brand, and I think Suzanne was into the Lycra, obviously, from a gymnastic side of things. Mm. So it was initially me and her, and it was not far from here, actually. It was Sutton in Surrey. And then Saracen got involved, and then we did a photo shoot with all the clothing. And
So what was the shop called? Was it...
It was Core.
Core.
It wasn't Cox and O'Reilly. I said that in Suzanne's accent. Did I sound posh enough? Cox and O'Reilly.
And how did it do?
We did okay, you know. I think we had it for 2 or 3 years, and then we all went off on different tangents, so we just had to stop it. It was board wear and surf wear and stuff like that. But it was something different. Again, you just try something, don't you? But no, it wasn't going anywhere. I think we had a try and we didn't like that side of things.
I just wouldn't have put Saracen together with... I could see you and Vogue definitely opening up a shop, but you tracked Saracen into the mix.
I can't remember how that... It must have been there when we were chatting about it and asked to get involved, and we weren't going to say no.
No.
You know, two guys and a girl that looks like him.
And they're going to be facing a Panther and Boom!
What was it like behind the scenes, you know, so not out and about in front of the audience, but what was it like behind as you're waiting? Because it's a lot of time waiting about, wasn't it? Mm.
You know what? It could get boring, but you had such characters there. You had Cobra to keep you occupied.
What are some of the things that he did?
Well, he does his Norman Wisdom. He does the monkey and he does all sorts. But, he's got a joke for everything. Warrior is larger than life. So, as I said earlier, he's like 6'5" and 20 stone, but acts like a blooming 8-year-old. You know, he used to say things like, "Oh, you've touched me, you have to marry me now." But yeah, no, we occupied ourselves.
But do you remember any of the pantos? Did you do a few?
I did a panto in Hull, and I was dressed as a fairy, and I remember it was the time when we were all being drug tested, random drug tested.
Oh, yes.
And tested to be a fairy.
Oh, honestly. And you know what? It's so funny because they came in and they have to go into the bathroom with you. So all the people from the pantomime, or actresses and actors and what have you, or singers, and they didn't understand why we were going to have to be drug tested. So, yeah, you came out and you had your big wig on and your little fairy dress and you had to go into the loo and you had to do what you had to do. And I remember them saying that they went to Sunderland just the day before they came to me and they were looking for Shadow and he was dressed as Alibaba. And he panicked and he ran out the front of the Sunderland Empire. Apparently there was him running round in his Alibaba outfit in Sunderland High Street. But yeah, so there was that one. And I did one somewhere, but I can't think where. It would be Leeds with Hunter, did one there. I think he still does them though, doesn't he?
He's thinking about it. He said he'd do it again if he was asked.
He did 20 and he hasn't done one for a while.
Oh my gosh, I think I did one in Camberley, one in Hull and I did the one in Leeds.
And that's
that
it.
Was my I'd have done one other one.
With the drug testing, so I would have just assumed that it would have been during the Gladiators, if it was panto, it would have been December.
Yeah, it was part of WADA, the World Anti-Doping Association, and they just said because it was going out for children, they wanted to show that, you know, that there wasn't performance-enhancing drugs being used. So to test people randomly is what they wanted to do. Mm. So they needed to know where you were working, where you would be at any time, so they could just turn up wherever. So they could turn up at your house, or they could turn up at a panto, or they could turn up whilst you're filming Gladiators. But the whole premise is that you didn't know, so you couldn't prepare yourself for anything. Mm. So that's how that was done. And they do that with athletes, high altitude training or whatever. They can turn up and just test them there.
Well, Panther, have you ever come across anyone the size, the power and strength of Onyema?
No, it was an absolute treat to be part of that game. That Onyema just came pounding at us. She's Mrs. Rhino.
Panther with a sporting summation of the power of Onyema.
If we could turn back the clock right now.
Oh.
And go back.
I wish.
And do it again.
If I knew then what I knew now.
Yeah.
What would I do?
What would you? I mean, obviously, without the injury, if you take that aside for it, because you could have gone on for longer. I mean, would the hope and ambition have been to go through to the duration of the 8th series?
Oh, I think that would have been nice. Yeah, and I think to be able to go to Australia, and I think did you go to South Africa as well?
They did. Yes, I didn't. But James, did.
To go to those countries to be able to do Gladiators out there would have been nice. But you know what? No, I don't believe in regrets. I think everything happens for a reason. I did what I needed to do. I'm happy. I would have liked to have been better at the job, if you like, at the actual games. But, you know, I did what I could do and I've got to be happy with that.
Absolutely.
Mm. No regrets.
Mm. Did you watch the Sky revival?
Well, no. You know what? I was invited along the first year to take part in it and I thought, oh gosh, I can't do this, you know, it's been too long since I've done anything gladiator wise but I'll go along and have a look at it. So I went along and watched it, and then you're sitting there thinking, oh, I've got to have a go. So when they asked me the next time, the answer was yes. So yeah, I put the outfit back on again and went out and did the Sky version with them. Mainly to just get it out my system. Yeah. And another thing, because my niece Georgia was only, I think, 5 or 6 at the time. So I thought, will she be able to see exactly, you know, what's going on? Because my other niece used to go to the go to school and say, my name is not Ruth, my name is Panther from now on. She used to want to be called Panther at school. So I thought my newer niece, who's now 17, give her a chance to soak in the atmosphere and see what it was like. So she came along and watched it live. So that was really nice.
I mean, it didn't have a massively long period of time before it was canned.
No.
What in your opinion was wrong? What didn't it quite do?
In my opinion, I think from what I could see, it was a bit contrived. It was a bit scripted. I think maybe the gladiators were too overpowering, where the contenders thought they had a chance against us, where whatever we said on camera was real and from us. I don't feel it was like that with the Sky version. And I think, you know what, if you're trying to replicate something that was so phenomenally good, you're failing already. But I think they did a good attempt, and it's not saying that the gladiators weren't good, because they're all fantastic. But I think the whole concept wasn't thought out correctly. You can't copy, and they just, I think the gladiators themselves, if their personalities had been allowed to come out, I think it would have been a lot more popular.
Yeah.
Who's it going to be? Who's going to take on Pampa?
Well, I mean, I hate to boast, but I think I maybe put her off in, 2-3 seconds the last time?
So you don't need to what? You don't need to take her on this time?
Yeah, somebody else has to have a shot. Come on, lady.
Who's it going to be?
I think the old legend, Panther.
Panther? You going for it? Panther against Panther? Okay, good luck up there. Go and get yourself ready while we take a look at your glorious gladiator past.
She's back and ready to pounce. It's Panther.
Panther, a former Miss Britain, Miss Europe, Miss Universe.
I am Helen O'Reilly, otherwise known as Panther. I appeared back in 1992.
And Panther was definitely a force to be reckoned with.
I've come back to meet the new Panther. She's big and scary, and I'm a soft little pussycat, but I've got experience on my side. The original Panther's back, and I always catch my prey.
With the 30 years coming up, do you think there should be another revival of Gladiators?
I think there should be something to celebrate the 30 years. I mean, it's scary to think it's 30 years, because now I know, like, I'm double that age. But I think there should be something in some form, even, you know, if they bring new young blood into it, with us as mentors, and maybe because of what we've gone through, being able to advise on what to do and what not to do would be a good idea, and get us involved in some way. Because it seemed the Sky version did get more popularity when us all lot were wheeled out.
But you're right, the Sky, the athlete on the Sky version were probably as good, if not better.
They came from athletic backgrounds that they all looked fantastic as well, but as I said, I think it was just too, you're going to be this character, you're going to be this character. And that's acting, that's not sport, that's not, and I think the audience can tell if you're being your authentic self or not. You know, when Wolf was being bad with us, he was being bad. It wasn't contrived in any way, you know. He wasn't given a script to do anything, he was just acting himself in that way. And I think the audience are appealed by them.
And she's going to be pursued by Panther.
That's a bit of a timing truth, but I'm going to give this a go. I want a saucer of milk at the end. See you later.
Meow.
You said something right early at the start about you having a gym quite early on.
Yeah.
And I just thought the Panther's gym just came about post-Gladiators.
Oh, well, when I was in the middle, initially what I was the secretary.
Yeah.
I was made redundant, and I thought, I'm never going to have anybody in charge of my destiny again. I don't want this to happen to me again. I don't want to be out of work because of somebody else's decision rather than mine. So I decided to do what I loved and open a gym. So I borrowed money from my father, a little bit of money. I went to a local guy who was selling gym equipment, and he was a previous Mr. Universe himself, a guy called John Citrone, and said, look, can you kit my gym out and I'll pay you this per month? So I opened a gym in the Northeast. And that's where I got the phone call to come and try out for a gladiator. So I already had a gym set up.
Yeah.
And when I moved south, once I started doing the gladiator job, when I met my husband, then I said, right, I need another gym. I need something stable in case something happens with the gladiator series. And luckily it was yeah, 3-4 in, so I was quite established. But I still had the gym then, and I still got it now.
And obviously kept the Panther name alive.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sometimes, at some stage, I thought this is silly having the name Panther on the gym, because I wanted the gym to be a standalone gym so that people came to it because it was a good gym. But it was an opportunity silly to not use it when I was at the height of the show, the TV show. So I asked permission from London Weekend to use the name Panther, and they said yes. So, and then it's just stuck, and it's just part of the furniture now. Yeah, I don't even think about it. And people actually come and join the gym and say, "And which gladiator owns this gym?" Say, well, it says Panther up there. So yeah, I've just been talking about rebranding, actually, maybe putting some Panther pictures up and gladiator pictures up, because I haven't done that. So.
Oh, you should. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to do that and maybe frame the gladiator tracksuit top or
yes.
something. Like
how much have you got left of all your stuff?
I've got a couple of suitcases, you know, but it's something I haven't delved into for ages, so it might be all moth-eaten or whatever. I'll have a look and put them up in the gym.
And next up, pulling for those valuable points, is Tracy! And she's going to be pulling against a Panther! Over to John Anderson.
Studying the stats, Tracy at 5'6", the same height as Panther, but with a 4-pound advantage. But let's face it, Panther's no pushover.
And of course, physical culture has gone off the stratosphere in this day and age. Everyone's doing clean and fit, and you must have seen a lot of changes, though.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started the gym, it was a fitness gym. Then we changed it around to more bodybuilding gym, and now we're just looking into the CrossFit side of things,
right.
The functional fitness. Fab. So a little bit of everything, because I think you don't want to be labelled as a bodybuilding gym per se.
No.
You want the general population to be in there getting fit, and we do have a wide cross section of people. You know, we've got young as young as 16 up to sort of, I think 72 is my eldest member. Different abilities, different levels of fitness, and it is all inclusive. You want to include everybody in fitness, and it's not a team sport, it's you against you. Just because somebody else in the gym is really fit and can run fast or is really strong, it doesn't mean you have to. You just get fitter as you go on for your level of fitness, or get stronger. It's up to you what you do, and you can do a cross section of the whole thing.
Well, Panther, I'm not going to call you Helen, it's always Panther to me. You, before we started, you said you wouldn't barely get through 15 minutes because you've got no memories left.
And you yet, made me talk.
Yeah, here we are, 45 minutes on.
Oh, bless.
And you've done
managed.
It.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, my love. It's lovely to see you as always, and lovely to meet you too.
So there we have it, the final Glad Pod of Series 1. Very sad that it is the end of Series 1, but what a great interview that was with Panther. Just before we start digesting that, Producer Paul, we have a little bit of a birthday shout-out to do, don't we?
Yes, we do. One of the absolute super fans, Craig Bethel, known as the Bethelator. He's a fan that I saw pretty much at all of the shows that I was at. He was there, but the opposite side of the arena, so thankfully we weren't competing for that space in the little corner. I've kind of never met him, but I've always been aware, we've always kept in touch, and it is his big 40th birthday on Saturday just gone, actually. So I just thought he needed a bit of a shout out for his birthday. He's been a super fan of the show and has continued to kind of really promote and support the podcast every week, sharing his own personal pictures and memories. So I felt like he deserved a massive shout out for his birthday. A lot of the fans will be turning 40 now, so I felt like he very much deserved it.
A big happy birthday, Craig.
Absolutely. Happy birthday from all of us here. Craig, hope you have a good one, or had a good one. So going back to the Panther episode, you know, you were right, Paul, in the intro when you was talking about discussing that injury, and actually, you know, watching that back before we spoke to her, and it's interesting when she was talking about it, actually she was saying she has no memory of it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think re-watching that event as an adult, and even noticing what kind of Panther is mouthing when she's on that crash mat, which is something that I've not really noticed before, but obviously she was in a lot of pain. But I think the thing is, for me, that it's so impressive on how for one, she actually did return to the arena at all after having an injury like that. But how fast she actually returned. So I think she only missed about four shows in that entire series. And she even came back for the semi-finals and the finals of that series to compete in kind of a few less impact games. But she did compete in Gauntlet and Powerball, which I thought with having such a bad injury was quite incredible, really. And it's something as a kid I didn't really ever really appreciate, I don't think. But yeah, it was such a traumatic event and kind of accident as well. And I think that event was the one that all of the gladiators dreaded, I think, didn't they, Di?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
the other bits that kind of came out from me from that is that I found it quite uplifting and quite inspiring and motivational, because actually she said she hated sports as a kid, which is quite unusual, you'd probably argue, for a gladiator. But she did find a sport that she liked, and then it became her journey to becoming a gladiator. And I think that's a key point to make. A lot of people say, I don't like sports, but actually there is probably a sport for everyone. I think sometimes it's that combination of opportunity, but also desire to actually want to do something which is going to push your human DNA to realize that is your sporting ambition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I remember when I'm trying to remember the producer's name, not Kenny Warwick. There was another producer who was on the search for people that looked right, and I'm doing that in inverted commas, looked right for the show. But my first question was, you can always get someone that looks right, but can they do the job? You know, because sometimes, you know, a person's body doesn't necessarily entail that they can actually be the best athlete. And when they were scouting for the original series, they came across Helen and they were like, oh my God, she looks amazing. And do you know what? She absolutely cracked it. When she walked into the arena, and I think one of her first events was Atlas Fairs, and she was just amazing, really powerful, really strong. So I was like, oh, phew. Not that I had any edict on kind of like, you know, who would be there, but it did feel to me as a gladiator that, yeah, that you not only have to look good, but you have to be able to do the job as well. And yeah, she completely cracked it.
And I think one thing that I took from there as well, and I think it's something that most gladiators are going to find interesting, gladiators fans are going to find interesting, is that Nigel Lithgow called her up and said, how tall are you? And she was like, well, I'm 5'6". And he was like, oh, do you know what? I'm looking for a gladiator that's 5'8". And it just shows you very much how the producers in that original series, they had a vision for every single gladiator that they wanted. And it was just funny that I think that Helen said that she would gladly have put heels on to make up those extra 2 inches.
Yeah. Do you know what? I did something similar, because again, when the remit came, it was on the day you pressed your answer phone, there was a casting call and they're looking for girls that need to be 5'8". I'm like, well, I'm not 5'8", but I'm a damn good athlete. And yeah, so there was a lot of us, even Kim Lightning, who for me is the most superior, legendary female gladiator of all time, because she was just so apt and so good at everything, that even she was 5'5", 5'6", you know. Yeah, so yeah.
And I think, Paul, one thing that I also picked up was the fact that actually Helen almost got a bit of a choice with her name, in a sense they were kind of, you know, do you want to be Cat? Do you want to be Panther? Cat wouldn't have really worked, would it?
I keep thinking of them just introducing her as Cat, and I just think, oh my God, thank God she went for the Panther kind of name instead. It's a lot more gladiatorial, I think. But one thing that was interesting was that she had the choice of the two names, whereas a lot of the other guys were obviously just given the names, you're this name, you're that name, whereas Helen had the choice. And even more so because Panther was actually originally thought out as a male gladiator. So it must have been that when Nigel saw Helen, thought, no, this is our kind of feline gladiator. Because yeah, all of the costume designs was originally a male Panther. So they must have at some point decided to change that up. But I do want to see the pictures of when Nigel kind of had her with her backcombed hair and Punk Panther, as she referred to it in the interview. I want to see those pictures if there are any, really.
And the other thing from my point of view, which made me laugh, was Jewel was one of the events that I associated with Panther. And even I think one of the clips you played on this week, it says, John Sachs says that Jewel's one of her best events, but she had a fear of heights.
Yes, that was absolutely... It's unusual to think that she had that, because she was put on that game a hell of a lot over the series. And then when she went back onto the Sky version and she did Jewel on that one against their version of Panther, who she was a fearsome athlete, it must have taken Helen a lot of courage to get back on that dual platform, especially when it was over water as well. And I don't think Helen is the strongest of swimmers, I think she said to me back at the time, so she would have had the heights and the water, so that says a lot about her as a person, I think.
Do you know, I'm just going to say, poor kitten. I'd left the show by that point, so, but I'm just thinking of my lovely Helen as a poor little kitten. She must have had to really dig deep. And yeah, courage, I think, Paul, is the right word.
And I know that we said this at the end of the interview, but it's worth repeating again that she came in to see Di and I. She had a bit of a chat with us before, and she was like, I can't think of any stories that I'm going to say. I can't remember anything. And then she just came up with 45 minutes worth of just brilliant stuff.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that's often what happened, wasn't it, David, when we were in the studio? A gladiator would sit there and go, well, yes, and then suddenly all the memories come flooding back. One in particular that stays with me is Mickey Cobra. He was like, oh, I can come back and do a whole other series. I'm like, yeah, we're booked you, and that's what you're going to do. Because he had so much content. All of them did. Yeah, remarkable.
And of course, the one story that she couldn't believe that we asked her about, because she had only just kind of remembered it, or maybe she buried it in the depths of her memory, was about the Russian gladiator and the paintball incident, which is just like one of the best stories ever. Paul, were there anything else? It's always good actually to have a third person actually here, because we do tend to get a lot of messages on, you know, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter from people saying, oh, one thing that I liked from this episode was this, or one thing I liked was that. Was there anything else from that chat with Panther that you were listening into and thought, yeah, I didn't know that, or that was quite interesting?
Yeah, I think it was about series 6, when she'd already kind of left the show and hung up her lycra, but she was still very much at the arena, kind of, as she mentioned, for camaraderie within the team, I think, especially because during series 6, that was probably one of the ones where they'd had the most changes, especially with the female gladiators team suffering a lot of injuries. So there was a lot of new faces. I think looking back, there was obviously the producers seemed quite unsure about which gladiators they were going to actually have in the team, because that was the year when we had Shark, who didn't obviously make it onto the TV screens. You had Khan, but then you had Fox, and then Gold, but then they weren't sure which one they were going to use. So the fact that Helen was kind of brought in to kind of, she wasn't seen on screen, but she was there every show. And I can remember her joking with me, saying that she was ready to put the lycra back on if it was needed. So just to have her kind of talk about that and her very much be part of that series, but not on screen, I think says a lot about her character and her role within the Gladiators team, really. And I do remember, funnily enough, when that series ended, Helen came over to me and she gave me a thank you card for all of the support that I'd given her over the series. And I thought that was such a lovely thing for her to do. Aww. She didn't need to do that. I was just supporting her. But for her to kind of reach out and say thank you, as well as be there for the team, I thought says a lot about her strength of character and who she is as a person.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, I didn't want to, at the end of this episode, go too much into kind of our thoughts and feelings towards the series as a whole. I think producer Paul and I might have a little bit of think about what we could do between series 1 and series 2 to reflect back on series 1 and some of the things that we'd learned and some of the clips that we've got, and also perhaps have a bit of a look towards series 2. We'd like to do series 2. We're certainly drawing up a list of people that we would like to hear from, and then we're going to try and see if we can make it work with them all and to share some more stories. And I think the combination that we've had of speaking to people who were gladiators, who were contenders, who worked behind the scenes, you know, all of those I think are a winning combination in terms of each series of the Glad Pod. But between now and series two, it would be great if you could get in touch with us and share your thoughts and feelings about series one, the people that we've heard from, the stories that you like to hear, and also who you would like to hear in series two. So you can send an email to thegladpod@gladiatorstv.com. Don't forget that we're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Glad Pod. And from me, it's a thank you very much for your support in series one. I'm looking forward to series two. So it's a bye from me.
And a big gladiatorial goodbye from me.
And as always, we will leave you with these very wise words from John Sachs.
Good competition, good spirit, great sportsmanship as both contenders show mutual respect. Join us again next week for the ultimate challenge, the might of...